high.
You really think so?
They are trying to understand how things work. On Mars, they are trying to puzzle out how the Martians lived and how they died. But they're always changing their minds. They're always putting up some theory about this or that. And their theories always attack religion and God.
DiNardo forced a smile.
God isn't worried about what the scientists are doing. In reality, the scientists are trying to learn how God created the world and how he makes it run.
You think?
They may not know it, DiNardo said, his smile becoming genuine. But even the most stubborn atheist among them is working to uncover God's ways.
She looked unconvinced, but she murmured,
I never thought about it that way.
DiNardo got up from the chair and thanked her. He half expected her to ask him for his blessing, but she simply smiled, her fleshy face dimpling prettily. DiNardo headed for the studio where they would be recording the final sequence on the documentary about Mars.
She didn't ask the difficult question, DiNardo said to himself as he stepped through the doorway into the big barn-like studio. She didn't ask how a loving and merciful God could create those intelligent Martians and then callously wipe them out, kill them all with just a flick of his celestial finger.
That was the question that haunted Monsignor DiNardo.
How could God be so cruel?
Book 3. Exiles. The Old Ones prophesied that the people would live in the Blue World and prosper there. Through many trials they endured, and learned the ways of the Blue World, and grew in strength and wisdom. But always they turned their eyes to the Red World and wondered. Always their dreams were haunted by visions of the Red World and what it once was. Dreams bear their own wisdom, and in time some dreamers strive to bring them into the waking world. Depew, Florida, Longstreet Middle School. The English class was watching The Return of Zorro on the big flat screen up at the front of the room. Bucky Winters sat toward the rear with his own notebook open in his lap where the teacher couldn't spot it. She was half dozing up at her desk anyway, Bucky saw.
If she catches me, I'm toast, he told himself.
But half the class was either daydreaming or furtively watching their own notebook screens. Only a handful of the students were actually following the adventures of the masked swordsman up on the big flat screen. The soundtrack, in Spanish with English subtitles, was loud enough to rattle the classroom windows. Bucky was watching a forbidden video on his notebook screen. He had the soundtrack muted because he dared not risk letting the teacher see him using the earplug. So he followed the documentary about Mars without the sound, using the Spanish subtitles that the program offered. Some guy was holding a piece of bone in his hand. At least it looked like a bone. Bucky's understanding of Spanish was limited to street talk and restaurant vocabulary, but the words scrolling along the bottom of the screen seemed to be saying that this was once the backbone of a Martian animal. Bucky wondered why this video was banned. He had recited the pledge in church along with his family and everybody else, but he thought it was stupid to promise not to watch any videos from Mars. So he'd kept his fingers crossed while he solemnly swore that he would not watch any documentary produced by the Mars Foundation.
This stuff is interesting, Bucky realized.
He was fascinated by the gigantic valley on Mars, the red cliffs and the rocks that had tiny creatures living inside them, and the buildings up in that niche in the cliffs. Did Martians really build them, or were they built by the explorers just to fool people? Bucky knew that Native Americans built dwellings in cliffs like that somewhere out west. Now the explorers claimed they had found a whole village where real Martians used to live. Bucky wondered what it would be like to go to Mars and explore a whole world. The class ended before the movie was finished, so the teacher promised they would see the end of it tomorrow. She turned off the screen and the overhead lights brightened. Everybody closed their notebooks and shuffled out into the corridor heading for the next class. One of Bucky's friends, Jimmy Simmons, sidled up beside him.
"Know what I found on the net?"
he asked, grinning broadly.
"Girls! Naked girls screwing their butts off!" You would, said Marlene Chauncey, one of the brightest girls in the school. I found a docudrama about Judy Garland.
Who's she?
She was an actress, Marlene said, trying to make it sound dramatic. She led a very tragic life.
Never heard of her, said Jimmy.
What about you, Bucky? You didn't watch that drippy Zorro show, did you?
No, I...
You don't have to ask him, Jimmy said, laughing. Bucky went to Mars again, didn't you?
Bucky nodded while the other kids laughed.
Mars boy!
Even Marlene laughed.
Tithonium Base, the mission director. For several days, Jamie looked for a way to tell Dr. Chang that Monsignor DiNardo would soon be arriving at the base.
Why not simply tell him? VJ suggested.
They were eating dinner in the crowded cafeteria, heads bent close over the table so they could speak without raising their voices above the clatter and chatter around them. Before Jamie could reply, VJ went on,
You're the scientific director, love. You outrank him, don't you?
It's not a matter of organization charts, Jamie said. I don't want this to be a confrontation. I've got to find a way to get Chang to accept this without feeling threatened or angry. VJ smiled lightly.
He probably already knows about it. He'd be a pretty poor mission director if he didn't.
Even so, I've got to tell him. I can't let DiNardo just pop in here without telling Chang about it first.
Well, Mike, you better break it to him soon. The resupply flight's due to arrive in a few days, isn't it?
4 days, Jamie nodded, tight-lipped. VJ looked past his shoulder.
There he goes now. Won't you grab the chance?
Turning, Jamie saw Chang weaving his way through the cafeteria tables, holding a loaded dinner tray in both hands. He spoke to no one, and no one tried to speak to him.
Looks like he's heading for his office, said VJ.
He spends most of his time in there, Jamie said. His fortress.
Go get him, she urged. I'll wait here.
Jamie took a deep breath, then got up from his chair and hurried after the mission director. He caught up with Chang halfway across the dome, well clear of the cafeteria tables. Dr. Chang, he called, can I talk with you for a moment, please? Chang slowed his pace, but did not stop.
Dr. Waterman, is something wrong?
No, not really, Jamie said. I just need to speak to you for a few minutes, in private. Dipping his chin slightly, Chang said,
in my office, then.
Jamie walked alongside the mission director and even slid open his office door for him. Chang placed his dinner tray on the low table in the corner of his office, then wordlessly gestured to one of the chairs next to it. Once they were both seated, Jamie looked for a way to open the conversation.
This is about Priest, I presume, said Chang.
Yes, Jamie said, grateful that the subject was broached. I wanted to tell you personally about his coming.
That is kind of you.
DiNardo arrives on resupply flight. I saw his name on manifest that Boston sent. Our decision to allow him to come was based on a number of factors. He is rather old for such rigorous work, almost as old as Dr. Carlton. He's been thoroughly examined. His health is fine. Chang nodded. Jamie went on, I don't want you to feel that Monsignor DiNardo's presence here in any way impinges on your authority as mission director. He is a fine geologist. I know his reputation and have studied his curriculum vitae. I met him once at a conference in Taipei.
Good, said Jamie.
He will make fine addition to our geology group.
Yes, but the reason we decided to allow him to come here is that he can be a powerful voice against the fundamentalists who are opposed to our work on Mars.
I understand. You are struggling against those who wish to stop our work here and force us to return home. Geologist who is also priest can be useful against them.
That's why we decided to let him come, Jamie said, thankful that Chang was being reasonable.
Chang's usually impassive face worked itself into the beginnings of a smile.
I welcome fellow geologist, he said, as if he actually meant it. There is much work for him to do here.
I'm delighted that you see it this way.
How else?
Jamie hesitated, then plunged. I was afraid you'd be upset, unhappy perhaps, because we didn't include you in the decision-making loop. Chang shook his head slowly.
It was not my decision to make. You are scientific director.
I am mission director. Once Dr. DiNardo is here, he will report